Salsa. Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. Tonight we welcome back our most popular guests, Jamie James and Tapri Hewitt, to chat about your financial journey from mortgages to insurance and how to grow your investment portfolio. Remember, you can download our podcast from barfoot.co.nz/property matters or listen anytime on planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. I'm Stephen Dallard, delighted to have you tuned into our show. Now, each week, as you know, we have a mix of guests from across the rental and investment landscape to give you tips and tricks on how to maximise your investment and provide practical advice for tenants and landlords who just need that tricky question answered. This is very much your show, so we encourage you to email us at any point at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz or send us a message on our Facebook page, which you can find us at Property Matters Radio, and we will get the experts to answer you in upcoming episodes. Now, I am absolutely delighted to welcome back to the studio, as promised, Jamie James from Jamie James Financial and Insurance. Welcome back.
Kia ora, Stephen. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Tapri Hewitt from Hewitt Mortgages.
Kia ora, Stephen. Thank you for having us back.
I'm the lucky one to have two beautiful people in my in the studio. I was going to say my office. It feels like it today. In the studio for the afternoon. And to congratulate you both, because you have been our highest rating shows since we started Property Matters nearly a year ago.
Wow.
So, super talented. Now, no pressure. That means people are tuning in. High expectations for round two. Now, for those that didn't tune in previously, can I get you both to just give us a quick background on yourselves and your own journey in the financial sector? Tapri, kick it off.
Sure. So I'm Tapri Hewitt. I am the Managing Director and Mortgage Advisor for Hewitt Mortgages. I'm a qualified financial advisor. I hold a Master of Business qualification. I've been a property investor for just over 20 years. And most importantly, I am a mother of three and a wife.
Well and truly keeping you out of mischief then with that lineup.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Welcome back. And Jamie?
Hi, I'm Jamie James, Director of Jamie James Financial and Insurance. I've been a property investor since I was 24 when I bought my first home, and I'll be 40 in a couple of weeks.
I love it that you're smiling as you say that. Some people go, oh, I'm 40.
It's like wine. Should get better with age, hopefully.
But doesn't life begin at 40? Isn't that the rule?
So they say. Yeah, I'll make it that. 40 is definitely in. And ultimately, I really love to help people. So how I do that is I'm a qualified financial advisor and I specialise in business and personal risk insurance. So that's looking after people.
Well, that's cool. Now, you both know each other. So how did you first meet?
Yeah, so I met Jamie a few years ago. She came highly recommended to us. So I needed, my husband and I needed our insurances reviewed. And we were actually thinking at the time that we needed more insurance cover. So we weren't sure, so met with Jamie. She undertook a financial mapping analysis on our situation. She actually established that we were overinsured. Because we had property investments at the time, she explained that the assets that we had, if anything were to happen to us, that we could potentially sell down some of those assets.
Right.
And she explained to us the difference between actually needing insurance and wanting insurance. So the solution was that we were to self-insure part of our assets and ourselves, I should say, and carry some of that risk and then take out a policy, an insurance policy for the other part. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I explain that right, Jamie.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
But it's nice to hear someone that's got your interest at heart and wasn't overselling. Because that's always the worry. You go to somebody and they're going to just upsell you. It's, you know, like, do you want fries with that? They're throwing the next thing in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I felt she had come from a genuine place. And, the minute she said that, I really wanted an explanation around why she thought that we didn't need more insurance. And it was pretty scary for us because we, you know, if it ever came to that time, I needed to know that I've got the money to pay down stuff, debts. And she assured us, explained the whole process throughout. Even when I didn't, wasn't really sure, I could go back to her and ask her more questions around the whole financial mapping process. And yeah, she's awesome. I recommend her to everybody I know.
That's a good glowing start to the show. Tapiri, why is it important to surround yourself, as a professional yourself, with other great experts that are in the field?
Yeah, so they are specialists in their field and they are the masters, of their craft. So for us, we want to simplify the home ownership process for our clients and take them on the journey. We don't want to, make it more stressful for them to go and find these experts. So we absolutely surround ourselves with people we can trust and people that we use ourselves. Mm. Jamie is one example of somebody that I use for insurance, and she's open, she's honest, she knows her stuff, and she always has her clients' best interests at heart.
And when it comes to things like mortgages and finance, why do you think it's so important people use a professional like a broker rather than going directly with a bank?
Yeah, so at Hewitt Mortgages, we support our clients throughout the whole process. So it is a transformational journey for our clients. If you go to a bank, and no disrespect to the banks, but if you go to a bank, they will only help you with the financial aspect of your mortgage, of your lending, whereas we provide advice and support all the way through. We put you in touch with the experts such as insurance advisors, accountants, and make sure that you're lawyers and make sure that you're on the right track. So especially for our first home buyers, it is extremely stressful if they don't know what's happening or if they don't have somebody to guide them through. So that's one of the things that, or one of the reasons why you should go to a mortgage advisor. We are accredited to all the main banks, including Kiwi Bank. Not all mortgage advisors are accredited to Kiwi Bank. We can source various financial options. So if you go to, your main bank, you're limiting your options. So we look across all the lenders. We're dealing with them all day, every day. We source you the right price, the appropriate pricing for your financial situation. That's about it, really.
And no two banks are the same, are they?
No two banks are the same. Different credit policies.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you remind our listeners what sort of things they need to do to prepare for a loan application? So a first-time person listening might want to come to you. What sort of information do you need from them?
Sure. So real high level, you'd need a deposit. And so that deposit could come from something like KiwiSaver or some genuine savings that you might have. Or your parents might be able to gift you some funds. The other thing is potentially your parents could use the equity in their home, but there is strict criteria around that. Also employment, got to have a job, guys, got to be able to service the debt, so affordability is key. What was the other thing? So in terms of criteria, so being in employment for a minimum period of 3 years. If you haven't been employed for a minimum of 3 years, then you have to be able to provide the employment contract and make sure there's no probationary period in that contract. The other thing is debt, like doing a full analysis of your financial situation. That's what we can help you with. Understand what outgoings you have, what debts, credit cards, afterpay, any of that that you have. So once you know all of this, then we can help you establish whether you are in a position to buy or not. And if you're not, we will put you on a pathway and let you know what needs to be done.
And what are some of the mistakes that you've seen people make when they're applying for a mortgage, or I guess perhaps the mistakes they might be making in their life currently, not thinking about, actually, hang on, I'm heading down this path, I need to avoid doing this?
Yeah, so some of the mistakes would be racking up a lot of debt, and not really understanding what the implications of racking up that debt is. So, on most occasions, people just don't know their financial circumstances. They don't even know what their incomes are, what their outgoings are, and so we at Hewitt Mortgages help people understand what their financial situation is, what their current status is, how they can improve on their financial situation. The other thing is I guess for first home buyers is really managing expectations around property prices and what you can afford and what you can't. We have a lot of, I guess, clients wanting to, you know, purchase homes in the central areas and the affordability is just not there. So, yeah, managing expectations, really.
Yeah, yeah. Easier said than done, I guess, when, yes, you know, everyone has that dream home. And I remember you saying last time, the dream home might not be your first one.
That's right.
You might need to get on the ladder first, and your dream home might be number three,
yep,
but start the journey.
Yes, yeah, yep, absolutely.
Lower those expectations first up. Is refinancing an easier process? What are some of the pitfalls we need to be aware of there?
Yeah,
and should we be looking at refinancing?
Yeah, it really depends on the customer's financial situation. So I wouldn't say that refinancing is an easier process. It, you know, it depends on the situation, how tidy their financial situation is, you know, what their income is, what their debts are. Are we going to undertake a debt consolidation process? And if we are, we need to understand how those debts were accumulated in the first place and why. You know, we need to, as lenders, we need to be responsible, I guess, and then comply with the responsible lending rules. Yeah, so it really depends. In some cases, they go through just like that, but in other cases, there's more explanation is required. So, yeah.
Can you share your top tips for someone wanting to get on the investment ladder for the first time?
Yeah, so if done right, property investment is one of the best ways to create financial freedom, again, if done right. So understanding your reasons for wanting to invest, like what is the goal? Is it retirement? Are you wanting to live, you know, better in retirement, create that passive income, not wanting to worry about where your next or where your pay is coming from? So by the time we get to retirement, who knows whether we will get the superannuation or not. Or is it that you're wanting to pay off your mortgage faster? So another strategy is to buy an investment property, hold it for, let's say, a period of, let's say, 10 years. If you look back on the property cycle of late, you know, property prices are doubling. It used to be 7 to 10 years. It's probably 5 years now. Or is it that you're wanting to pay off your mortgage faster? So that's that. I guess think about the area you would like to purchase the investment property in. Is there a lot of employment in that area? Infrastructure, what's happening in, you know, in that particular area? I think one of the regions is Whakatane, or there's a region where there's a paper mill. And so I think 30%... of people are employed by this particular paper mill. So what happens if, you know, the paper mill goes under and what happens to employment and people renting your property? So thinking about stuff like that. And diversification is key, in my opinion. Think about buying a property in high growth areas, you know, for capital gains, like Auckland, for example. And also, you know, thinking about properties in the outer regions, and those properties will return higher yields. And in effect, they could both offset each other. Let's say if you're paying, if you're topping up a mortgage in one area and you're receiving a passive income in the other area, they could offset each other.
Cool. Great advice. All right, Jamie, if I bring you in here, when we chatted a couple of weeks ago, we talked about your financial road mapping that you do. Can you fill our listeners in on what that is?
Sure. So we can give clients a visual snapshot of their current financial position. So you can visually see the household income flowing through, minus tax, minus KiwiSaver, minus the mortgage or rent, which was typically people's biggest expense, and then all of the other living costs. Is there anything left over or not? So ultimately, we can help them reduce debt, look at ways at increasing lifetime cash flow. If they've got a property investment portfolio, we can map that out. What is the yield? What happens if you renovate or get some lending to do some renovations on a property? What is that increase in? Do you want to sell a property and redistribute the funds? Or do you want to use equity in these properties to purchase another one? So we can map all of that out. And what clients really love about it is that they can make mistakes there, not in the real world.
Yep.
So we can map out different financial scenarios. For example, if we went into another lockdown, if the household income reduced to, you know, 80%, what does that look like financially? What if the interest rates increased to 4%, 7%? How does that impact the household? So we can map all of those different things out. What if there is a loss of income because somebody gets sick and they can't work and earn? And then we can input what does an income protection look like if you map that out? And sometimes, so that helps in case of, for Tapiti's example, everybody has a different risk tolerance. Mm. So some people might have savings, but they don't want to spend their savings as a plan B. They're going to earmark that as an investment to purchase a property. So then some people have assets that they can sell and others don't want to. So within that risk tolerance, people can decide what is the difference between needing the insurance, I need this risk covered, and then if I want to invest in a policy to cover this risk, then they can. So everybody's different and we can actually map that out. So we don't guess anything, we calculate the numbers.
And I like the fact that you see, and see it visually before you make the mistakes. Tapiti, I'm guessing this goes hand in hand with the work you do, that Jamie can map someone's journey and then involve you at the time that they're ready for that next financial side of actually applying and getting the mortgage.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So when we are referring our clients to, let's say I'm referring clients to Jamie, we would have already, with our client's permission, had a discussion about where the clients are at. And so I would, as a mortgage advisor, I have to establish anyway their financial situation, what their incomings are and their outgoings. And I tailor their financial situation to suit their loan structure. But we liaise quite a bit anyway, and yeah, we're often discussing clients' financial situation and the best solution for them.
Brilliant. Double team.
An
excellent
example of that is recently I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Stephen, is that had some clients that are currently renting, but they've got a deposit and we financially mapped out their world. So we found that their sweet spot was $790,000 for lending from a bank, and they could afford that based on 2% interest, 4% interest and 7%. And then we also mapped out that if they reallocated some of their surplus back onto that lending, they would take a 30-year term and cut it down to 17 years and save them $200,000 in interest to the bank. And she is on a $99,000 salary, so effectively she would have to work 2 years of her life just to pay that interest back. But here she gets that 2 years back. So with her permission, I referred them through to Tapiti and said, this looks like their sweet spot, but you do your magic and pay it back and the banks will give it to them.
Brilliant. That's what you want, though. You know, the experts looking after you. I mean, Tapiti mentioned, you know, you don't sell insurance that's not needed. It's interesting when you watch television at the moment, every insurance ad break has an insurance company offering you some sort of deal, some sort of online promo, and you get this and this with their company. Why do you think it's so important, again, to use the broker rather than going direct to one of these quick deals?
It's a really good question. So let's unpack this. It doesn't matter if you buy online or through an advisor. It's still using the same quoting portal. The numbers are still the same. What you do get with going through an advisor is we don't know what we don't know. You're getting advice, and that is golden.
Rather than just completing the boxes A to Z on an online form.
Exactly. Yeah. I got some clients, I keep referring back to real life stories because I think it illustrates examples better. But I had some clients that were referred to me, and they had taken out insurance through online quite a while back. So they asked me to do a review, and on doing the review, I took them through the financial mapping and showed them that they'd actually taken up insurance that they didn't need. It didn't fit their circumstances, but they thought that that's what they needed. And they'd also doubled up on some insurance covers, but they didn't understand the policies. Mm-hmm. So I showed them where they had doubled up. So we're able to cut back costs there. But also going through that, we did the due diligence and found that there was unintentional non-disclosure on her because she did the application on her own without that advice. So we took it back to her existing insurer and they voided the policy because they wouldn't have offered it to her to begin with. So we helped her out with that. And then the biggest part was is that we were able to save them tens of thousands of dollars in accumulated premiums because they didn't understand that you can actually structure your insurance rates to suit you, not the insurer. So they had structured it on a stepped rate, which means to them it looked cheap, and cheap is always attractive, right? So I showed them, go back to your welcome letter that that insurance company sent to you and go to page 5, which they did. So most people throw those documents in the bin. They looked at page 5 and there was this nice graph that said year 1 through to year 10. And their premiums were going to have a 330% increase in 10 years because of the way it was structured. So I helped them structure it to a fixed rate, which meant that their investment was going to be exactly the same year on year on year on year, and saving them tens of thousands long term. And then, of course, a while later, when her health changed, I facilitated her claims so that ultimately she could focus on recovery.
Mm. When we chatted last time, we went through some of the different insurances that you covered. We talked about income protection, life and trauma cover, through to disability and redundancy cover.
Mm-hmm.
We also touched on the business side, but then we ran out on that health side that you're talking about. You also provide medical insurance and kids cover. Are you finding more people are getting this insurance and not relying on our public health system?
I'm actually finding that sometimes when people come to me, they might have medical cover in mind, but again, we don't know what we don't know. So just last week, I had a client that said, hey, look, I've gone online, I've looked at a couple of insurers for medical, can you help me out with some advice? So he was looking at full private medical cover. Well, after the financial mapping, he then decided that his priority wasn't medical cover, it was in fact covering his income first, because if he didn't have his income, how could he pay for his medical premiums? Mm. How could he pay for the mortgage to keep the roof over his head? And what I was able to help him with is, so you were looking at this insurer for full private medical cover. I can restructure this and recommend for the same amount that you're going to pay on that, you can get some life cover, some trauma cover, mortgage protection, and medical insurance for the exact same amount. So, yeah, sometimes people may have an idea of what something is, but I think they find the financial mapping really valuable to be able to unpack everything.
And just get what you need.
Get what you need, yeah.
What if you have a pre-existing medical condition? Does that make it hard to change insurance companies?
It doesn't make it hard, but you shouldn't change insurance companies just to review an exclusion. If you have an exclusion, contact your insurer or ask your advisor to help you review that, because sometimes they are reviewable, but some medical conditions just aren't.
Yep.
But to replace a policy, ultimately, are you in a better position with their replacement policy or staying where you are? You've got to be very careful. There's so many different components to take into consideration. Number one, all banks lend money, all insurers insure, but they're very different. Just like banks, their rates are different, their favourite people, whether you're self-employed or not, and it's the same with insurers. So you've got to check out the insurance company, you've got to really understand the fine print and the products. Income protection, there's thousands of different types of income protections and they all work differently. So reviewing an exclusion is not a good enough reason to replace an insurance policy. You want to go to an advisor and look at everything, but certainly ask your advisor if you can get any exclusions reviewed.
And when is a child not a child? Is it 18 or when they leave home, or does that depend on the policy?
It depends on the insurer. So most of the time it's up to age 17, but some insurers offer free kids cover, which is right through to age 21 as well.
Okay, cool. All right, we're going to take a short music break, and the Barfoot and Thompson season of Wicked takes place from the 9th of September. Tickets are available at iTicket. So here is the wonderful Defying Gravity.
Is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game. Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time. trust my instincts, close my eyes and leave. It's time to try.
And Aaron Tebbutt from the West End version of Wicked playing here the Barfoot and Thompson season at Sky City from the 9th of September. Tickets available at iticket.co.nz. Now I'm back with my wonderful guests today, Jamie and Tapri, and chatting about mortgages, financial insurance and that journey. Tapri, can I ask you, is it hard for first home buyers in this Auckland market?
Yes.
Like harder than ever before?
I think so. It is definitely harder than ever before to buy because the property prices keep increasing and there's a lot of competition out there. You know, the properties are scarce on the market. There's not many properties listed, which is, you know, pushing up the demand for prices and of course, increasing the property prices. So, yes, it is difficult. However, you know, there are other solutions for new builds through Kiwi Build and, yeah, there's apartments as well, you know. So looking at other solutions. And I think just reaching out to us at Hewitt Mortgages and we can talk you through the process. Yeah.
Are our Māori and Pacific communities struggling to buy homes, or are there good packages out there from the government to assist? I mean, is our government doing enough, is what I'm asking.
There's always room for improvement. Yes, our Māori and Pacifica communities are struggling. I think first and foremost, it's all around financial literacy and really understanding whether they can actually buy a home. Does their finances let them? Does their employment, the income that they receive from their employment, allow them to purchase a home? So just reaching out to an insurance advisor and, you know, sort of understanding what their current status is, I think, is key. But yes, there could be more. There are some initiatives coming out or being released. I don't think they've been announced yet. And yeah, so once they're announced, I would love to come back on
Great.
The show, Stephen.
Watch the space.
Yeah, and so watch the space for sure.
Nice. Jamie, do you think we do enough to teach financial literacy in our schools and to our uni students to prep them for buying a property?
Honestly,
yeah.
No. Well, I can go from my own experience. Like, going through school, mathematics teaches us numbers, but it's about managing numbers. That's the real understanding. And to be honest with you, it was really my mum and my own personal life experience and going through tough times that it was that taught me more than anything. So my mum was very transparent around the household income, and I remember she'd get like a piece of paper and a pen and go, okay, so this is the income. Now we've got to minus off the mortgage, minus off the power and rates and food. And then sometimes I would go and get the groceries. So I had a budget that I had to work within. And so my, you know, 14, 16-year-old brain was trying to figure out, you know, do we really need this? And understanding that money doesn't grow on trees, I guess. And I used to think mum was real stink, because I was like, why is it that my friends get you know pocket money for keeping their room clean and doing their homework, when I just have to do that or I'll get my butt kicked, you know? Yeah. Like, that's just normal. But to earn money, to earn pocket money, my brother and I had to think outside the square. What are the things that mum doesn't like to do, like ironing or cleaning the car and things like that, to earn $5? And $5 back then, I would calculate that would mean that I could go to the movies with my friend and buy some tangy fruits.
Yep.
So it's learning the, you know, numbers are just numbers, but actually being able to learn how to plan and how to manage those numbers and how to prioritise as well. I think that more could be done in that space.
Yeah, definitely. These young people listening right now going, tangy fruits? What are they?
I know.
Yeah,
you'll just have,
get out the Google, get out the Google. How often do you think people need to check in and recheck their insurances and their current mortgages?
Well, I guess it's whenever, for clients, it's annually, because, I mean, life changes, life ebbs and flows. So we always contact our clients every 12 months, just touch base. Or if not, it's when their circumstances change, so they'll reach out. It's usually they want to start up a business or buy a home or sell a property, or they're adding to the family. So it's big circumstance changes like that, that that's a good time to sit down and review the policies.
Similar for you?
Yep, absolutely. I'd agree on an annual basis. And, you know, for some of our customers, interest rates have changed over time. So when they were set at a higher interest rate previously and then the rates drop, we would take them through an analysis and sort of understand whether they'd be saving money by breaking. So, yeah, annually is absolutely key.
Mm. When I've talked to both of you at different times, one thing that really stood out was you're in it for the long term with your customer. Now, you won't get that if you fill out an online form or an online application. You've both mentioned that you are, from an insurance point of view, you're the point of call that we ring and say, hey, this has just happened, help. Mm-hmm. And you follow that process through. You told us a story of visiting someone in hospital last time you were here.
Yeah.
And Tāpiri, for the mortgage scenario, you were exactly the same. It's what's your journey, where do you need to be, and I'm going to keep nagging you to get to that next point. But that's really good, and to me that's a selling point for using a broker. What is it that you love about your job so much that you put yourself in that position? Because it is quite different. Yeah.
So for me, I absolutely love helping people and love seeing them succeed financially. I don't want them to be, I guess, slaves to their landlords. I want them to have their own home if we can help them. Absolutely, helping them, supporting them, and giving them the confidence to know that we are here once you're ready to purchase. And if you're not, we will talk you through that process and put a plan together to help you.
Cool. And Jamie, similar for you?
Yeah, I think life is a beautiful journey of ups and downs and all the in-betweens, and we love sharing those ups with our clients, you know, when they buy a new house and things like that. But we're also there for them when their world gets turned upside down, and ultimately, through my own life experience, I've been through some tough times financially and with health things as well, and really wanting to be there for people so that ultimately they can focus on recovery, and you can take away that financial stress as well.
Cool. Can you walk me through what it would be like for that first meeting with you to do that roadmap?
Yeah, so just reach out and we'll book a 30-minute Zoom meeting so that we can financially map things out together. And then from there, we can seek a pre-approval for insurance, see what insurers come back with, and then that gives us the time and space to be able to negotiate terms on your behalf. This is exclusions and things like that. Once we've got that, we'll then write our recommendation and options and a statement of advice and catch up with you again for the second Zoom meeting, and ultimately clients design their plans. So however much or little clients want to invest in their policies or not, they control that.
Right.
But what me and my team control is putting them and their families in best outcome for claims.
Cool. And Tapri, first meeting with you?
Yeah, first meeting. So first point of contact, we pre-qualify our clients over the phone, sort of understand what their status is. And once they've passed that situation, then all the pre-qualification stage, then we meet with the clients. We send them out an online application beforehand and let them know what details we need. So when we meet, we've got it all there in front of us, and then we just explain our process in general terms, and then just let them know, you know, this is what happens once we've assessed your situation. We'll let you know, we'll communicate with yourself as well as the bank, lodge your application, 7 to 10 working days turnaround time. And so once we get an approval with the bank, we explain to the clients what the details of the approval. We also explain to them what the banks think or their thoughts are on particular homes that you buy, for example, plaster homes, what the conditions are around that. So there's a whole heap of things we explain to our clients. We put them in touch with, at that point, real estate agents, some of the experts that we surround ourselves with, also insurance. So we just take them through that whole journey. It is a long journey.
But to have someone guiding you through
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why we support our clients throughout the whole process, and it is step by step. So we talk through the whole journey, and then we say, this is where we're at, and we're just going to go one by one.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how can people get in touch?
Yep. So hewittmortgages.co.nz or my cell phone 0274 388 158.
And Jamie, if they want to get in touch with you for a roadmap or talk insurance?
jamiejames.com or my mobile 0215270 69.
Brilliant, and we will make sure all their links are up on our social media and up on our website. You can check out the podcast and their previous ones at barfoot.co.nz/property matters. And if you have something you'd like to discuss on air, we'd love to schedule you in. Come and get in touch with us. Email us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. Thank you, Jamie and Tapri, for spending another Monday afternoon. Don't look out the window at the traffic queued outside the studio, okay? Really appreciate your time, your advice, and your expertise on the show, and thanks so much for rocking our ratings.
Thank you for having us, Stephen.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant. You guys have a wonderful night. Drive safely. Catch you next Monday. Take care. Property Matters.